today, brother. Good morning, everyone. It's so good to see you. It's a cold day in Mobile, Alabama. I want to encourage you, if you have a Bible, and I hope you do, if you'll turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2 this morning. As the little ones are slipping out for children's church, we get to do big church. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 2, we'll be looking this morning in verses 8 through 10. We're going to continue our series in 1 Timothy this morning together. I pray that it'll be a blessing to you. We're grateful if you are a guest here, a prospective member. We're so grateful you're here. Let me just say, if you're here and desire membership in Crawford Baptist Church as a follower of Jesus Christ, the chili luncheon that we have, we want you to come and stay, and we will take care of the donation for you. So don't worry about that. We'll take care of that as we settle accounts on that. But we would love for you to stay and be a part of the lunch, and then we'll slide into the banquet room, as Pastor Glad mentioned, and we will have, or Pastor Stephen, we will have that meeting together. And we look forward to meeting you and getting to know you better during that time and answer questions you may have about Crawford Baptist Church. So we're just grateful for that opportunity today. And also, don't forget the Builders on Mission trip with Mike Wade. It'll be here at the front at the end of the service today as well. So a good afternoon. Then we go home and rest a little bit and come back at 4. And our ladies have good discussion. Our men have good discussion planned from 4 to 6 this afternoon in the Interest Institute and the ladies' book study. So please remember that this morning. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's look to verses 8, 9, and 10 this morning as we just plow a little deeper in these verses in 1 Timothy today. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. The Word of God says this: "Therefore I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and dissension. Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, with modesty and self-restraint, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly clothing, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women professing godliness." All right, so you pray for me as we're going to unpack these verses today. And we'll see what God has to say to us this morning. Also want to mention our people group of the day are the Turks in Argentina. I believe that's correct, the Turks in Argentina. And there are 800 of them that are living in Argentina, and there are thousands around the world. But our prayer focus, along with other brothers and sisters on the Joshua Project app, so we pray in sync and together for this particular people group are the Turks in Argentina. So we want to remember to pray for them as we pray now for God to help us study His Word. Let's bow and pray this morning. Father in heaven, we do thank You for the privilege to gather to worship, to sing praises to You, Lord, to exalt the name of Jesus Christ. And we joyfully come and do that. And we thank You for the wonderful musical worship we've had today. And Father, we do ask You, Lord, in Jesus' name, to reach the Turkish people living down in Argentina, Lord, around 800 known to be there in that community. And Lord, we ask You, O God, to use Christians in that area to get the gospel to these people with a different cultural background than the Argentinian people. But Lord, would You work there to save people in that people group, O God, and establish gospel preaching churches among the Turks in Argentina. And Father, this morning I pray for wisdom and insight and power as we teach and proclaim the truth of Your Word now from 2 Timothy chapter 2. And Father, I pray that You would help us listen as You have a word for holy men, for godly women, and Lord, the unity of Your church. I pray, God, desperately now for You to work in and through me and in this congregation. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 10 this morning. I want you to understand this as we begin. In the church, and that's what we are, and the church is not the building. We're thankful for the building. It is, again, a facility which facilitates worship In other words, we can all, no one member of Crawford has enough house space for us all just to show up one Sunday morning and get inside their living room on a cold Sunday morning and worship. So we're thankful to God for this structure, for this building, for this facility that God has given this church. Now, since 1957, Crawford Baptist Church has been on this spot here at 3000 Sun Valley Drive. But when I'm talking to the church, I'm talking about the people, the members in particular, who make up the body of Christ known as Crawford Baptist Church. You know, in the church, both godly men and godly women are important. In fact, everybody is somebody in his body. And that's a foundational truth we just need to grasp as we prepare to dive in to these scriptures this morning. Everybody is somebody in his body. And I want us to look at the big idea that I was able to develop this week. And I know last week we spent an entire sermon basically in verse 8, talking about holy men, right? Prayer, and the unity of the church. And so we're going to go back to verse 8, but we're going to move into verses 9 and 10 today as well as we bring the women into the conversation, which is right to do because, again, godly women are very important in the local church, in the life of the local church, as are holy men and godly women. So the big idea today is this, and it should be on the screen for you to see. Holy men and godly women are to pursue unity in the church, right? So that the church will be fruitful in accomplishing her God-given mission. Holy men, and I'm using that because that's the language in verse 8. It talks about lifting up holy hands. And then in verse 9 and 10, it's talking here about godly women, right? The women who are godly, pursuing godliness, professing godliness. And that's where I get my wording from. I'm trying to get it from the scripture. Holy men and godly women are to pursue unity so the church will be fruitful in accomplishing her God-given mission. And again, you think of Crawford Baptist Church, and we think of membership class today, and it just coincides this way. But at Crawford Baptist Church, we do exist for a reason. We exist to fulfill a mission that we believe God has given us. In fact, God has given this mission to every gospel preaching church that is in Argentina and that is in LA, Lower Alabama, where we are, or in Europe or in Africa or in Asia or the Pacific, wherever it may be. Every gospel preaching church has a mission given to her by the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have the option of deciding this is what we as a church are going to pray about and give toward and focus on. God himself has already given his church the mission, and it's called the Great Commission. But we word it this way at Crawford Baptist Church. We exist to glorify God by making disciples through the gospel in community on mission. That's how we declare our mission statement here at Crawford Baptist Church. And along with that, we have five prayer goals which are designed to help us fulfill this mission statement. And the five prayer goals are, number one, we pray for gospel unity in the church and in this church. We pray for to be united around the gospel. We have other positions and ideas about different things that we look at, and we do not all agree on those particular issues or things, but we do come together to proclaim the gospel, to sing the gospel, to live out gospel-empowered, transformed lives in our community, and to see God work around the world. But gospel unity is essential. Number two, we're praying for God to save hundreds and hundreds of people in the Mobile area. And so if you read and hear something about, hey, on the other side of town, these folks got saved, hey, we're praying for God to save people on the other side of town. We're praying for God to save people on our side of town as well. Amen? I mean, Sims needs Jesus. Wilmer needs Jesus. And so we're praying for God to save hundreds and hundreds. That's what we have as a church-wide prayer goal. We want to be unified around the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to see God save hundreds and hundreds of people in the Mobile area. Number three, we want to see these Christians made to become disciple-making disciples. Disciple-making disciples, right? Number four, our prayer goal is we want to see God call 10 members of this church into gospel ministry. We are praying that God would send, call up out of us 10 members to go out into gospel ministry. We have a few years left in this objective, this prayer goal that we have. And when you think, we have some men and we have females who are sensing a call to Christian ministry in the right God-ordained biblical way for that. I mean, we have Ryan Ivey serving out in Las Vegas. He and, of course, Kirsten, his wife, is alongside him serving there in the church in Las Vegas, right? We have Spencer St. Cyr, who is continuing his education training internship over in Florida. He's in seminary. We have Joshua Evers and his wife Natalie, who are in Louisville, Kentucky, and Joshua is studying there at the seminary, getting his MDiv degree, Master of Divinity degree, and will be pastoring, missionary, translator of Scripture, perhaps seminary professor one day. So we have these people. We have Brother John Inabnant, who was with us for about 4 or 5 years, who's been called out to go now and serve at First Christian Church downtown Mobile. That's good. We have, back in the spring, we had Joel Bishop and Kenneth Adams set apart for gospel ministry. We recognize giftedness in their lives that signify a call of God upon their life to gospel ministry, and they're serving in their roles here volunteer-wise at Crawford Baptist Church, Brother Kenneth and Brother Joel Bishop, and we're thankful for them. We have Miss Kaylee Nelson graduating in May. We'll be going with IMB for training and serving in the International Mission Board for a while, and so I just lay these out to you. Because in these recent years, we've had men and we have Kaylee who are responding to the gospel call upon their lives to go and further God's kingdom wherever He leads them. This is wonderful. This is wonderful for you to think about this. So, again, these are our prayer goals. Number five is debt elimination. Amen. And amen. We have to pay $11,000 and some dollars every month on our note that helped us secure property and then upgrade this auditorium and the children's building. And so we owe the bank $11,000 and some dollars, probably around $200 or so, $11,200 or so. Every month we pay that, and we do that through the building fund gifts that you as members give this church. And on that offering envelope that I dropped in a while back, there's a section for tithes, right? There's a section for building fund, for missions, for other. And so when you give and use those offering envelopes, they're available to you on the Connect table and the Impact table, and they're in the seat pockets of the chairs here, hopefully in those chairs for you. And you give your tithes, your offerings, your building fund. But that building fund line item goes and it accrues in the month as you give sacrificially to that building fund offering. And we are trying to eliminate that debt. Amen. We would love to have that $11,000 invested in pure missions and gospel and evangelistic work. But you see, to strengthen the hub, to strengthen home base, so to speak, we had decided back around 2014, 2015, hey, let's remodel this auditorium. Let's put the balcony that it was designed to have in. And upon discussion and being informed, the church body, the members of Crawford Baptist Church, voted to remodel the auditorium and to remodel the children's building, and they are huge improvements, and yet we continue to still pay for that investment. We have to pay now the bill, so to speak, for this gospel hub that we have, which is a beautiful facility, and we thank God for. These are our prayer goals, praying for gospel unity, praying for God to save hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in the Mobile area. just specific prayer requests we have. That these Christians would be trained to be disciple-making disciples, that we would see God call out men and women from this church, members of Crawford Baptist Church, to go and plant churches and pastor churches and replant churches and to be missionaries and to be biblical scholars and teachers and professors. All of these things further the work of the kingdom in this world. We're praying for that, and then we're praying for debt elimination, that's $11,000 that we would be taking in, Lord willing, that we could use for the missionaries and for church plants and different things. And so we're praying for those things, but I'll tell you what, without gospel unity in the church, those things aren't going to happen. Gospel unity is essential for the church to glorify God and make disciples the way that God intends for us to do that. And here's the thing. In Ephesians 4, if you'll flip back from 1 Timothy, flip back to the left, go to Ephesians for a moment. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. And then also I will show you the memory verse that I selected this week. The memory verse that we switched to this week. This sermon changed from Wednesday night to Thursday morning. I've been leaning that way, and then anyway, I rewrote it all Thursday and Friday. And so here we go. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Paul says, and remember, these are the same people. 1 Timothy was addressed to Timothy and the church in Ephesus, really. It's intended to be read not just by Timothy, but by Timothy to the church in Ephesus. And the letter of Paul to the Ephesians, same place. Ephesians was just about 2 years or so, maybe 3 years earlier than he wrote 1 Timothy. But notice in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says, "Therefore I, the prisoner in the Lord, exhort you to walk worthy of the calling with which you have been called." Now, stop for a second. We all in this room who have heard the gospel call to believe in Jesus and to turn from our sins, listen, we all are expected by the Lord to walk in a way that is worthy of the calling of the gospel. In other words, you don't just say a prayer, sign a card, walk an aisle, go through membership class, and you're still, you're not growing spiritually. No, when you are saved, you know, he who begins the good work in you will perform and perfect that good work and continue that good work until the day of Christ Jesus. None of us live perfectly, but the direction of our life changes, and so we're seeing spiritual growth. We're seeing conviction of sin in our lives when we commit sin. And just to be honest, we all do every day. And I hope you realize that. But I'm just pointing in verse 1. You and I are called to a high calling. We are to walk, that is, live our lives worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Okay, verse 2, how do we do that? We do it with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. These are all worthy of sermons, but not today. Verse 3, being diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Look at our memory verse, being diligent. All right, that means dutiful about it. It means working hard for it, being diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's gospel unity. And I want you to notice in Ephesians 4, 3, it is produced by the Holy Spirit, but you and I have a role to preserve it, to pursue it, and to protect it. It's all fanciful talk if all we do is say, "Lord, help us be unified. Unite us, Lord, around the gospel." Great songs to sing, great words to say that don't mean a hill of beans if we don't get up off our blessed assurance and seek to pursue peace and protect peace. This is where we are, Ephesians 4, verse 3. And so with that background, I have 2 points today. And so you can flip back with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And let's quickly review from last week, and then we're going to move into the ladies today, verses 9 and 10. In verse 8, men, do not be divisive. Well, Timothy was talking about fighting the good fight, Pastor Jay. What are you talking about? Well, again, yes, we're supposed to fight the good fight, but we're supposed to know who we're supposed to fight. We're supposed to fight the bad guy. We're supposed to be fighting Satan and the powers of darkness, and we're supposed to be speaking against sin in love. We speak the truth in love to the people. And so, men, do not be divisive. And if you look back at verse 8 for just a couple of moments here, and we'll move into verse 9 quickly, but notice it. Therefore, I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up what? Holy hands without wrath and dissension. Men, do not be divisive. And this holy hands, as we saw last week in our sermon, symbolizes a pure heart. And a pure heart is a heart that has been cleansed by God of its sin. A pure heart is a heart that is sensitive to sin, especially its own sin, since we continually sin, even though we're now born again and adopted into the family of God. A pure heart is a repenting heart. A pure heart is a confessing heart. And our lives must, men, be characterized by holiness and not by unholiness, debauchery, and wickedness. And we saw verses last week in that sermon that supported that thesis as well. So holy hands symbolize the pure heart. Then he says, do it without wrath and dissension. You see, there was division among the members of the church in Ephesus. Angry words were being spoken. And the sins of anger and quarreling are especially prevalent for men. What Paul is doing here, he's addressing some what we call besetting sins. There are certain sins that are known as besetting sins that we kind of gravitate toward based upon who we are, where we are. And one he's nailing, and I didn't write the letter. I'm just reading it and trying to explain it to you. Amen? And so, but he said, okay, men in the church are apparently struggling with this issue of anger and quarreling and being divisive and trying to divide the church. And what we see in the background at work are these false teachers that we've already studied about in 1 Timothy chapter 1. The false teachers were knee deep. They were neck deep in this, I think. Neck deep in causing this division and this grumbling and argumentation in the church. That's where we see it coming. In fact, if you'll drop down to chapter 3, verse 3. I put verse 2 in the notes. It's my bad. I corrected that this morning. It's chapter 3, verse 3, where Paul is laying out for Timothy the qualifications. If you want to be an overseer, which means to oversee, the role of the pastor is pastors. Again, New Testament Bible is not one pastor. I know this is new in our Baptist world of thinking, but it's quite ancient. It goes back to the New Testament. Pastors, plural, okay? If you desire the office of overseer, to oversee, to see over, to manage the affairs of, that's what the office of pastor, overseer, and elder is called to do. And it's a huge responsibility, by the way. But notice there in verse 3, he mentions a number of things. Not addicted to wine. But here's the one I'm trying to get, pugnacious. In chapter 3 and verse 3, he mentions that word pugnacious. Now, if you have no clue what that word means, you kind of do. Just by pugnacious. You can't say it with a smile on your face. You see, that word pugnacious means someone, a giver of blows, a striker. That's what pugnacious is. A pastor must not be a person who responds to difficulty with physical violence. That's what that word pugnacious. He's not to be a fighter in the sense of always getting in somebody's face and screaming down at them or actually pushing them or shoving them or disrespecting the leaders in that faith family, in that community. He must not settle disputes with blows. That's what pugnacious means. And then you'll notice the next word there in verse 3, but considerate. The word considerate means forbearing and gracious. Easily pardons human failure. considerate has the idea of being one who does not hold a grudge. That's this word, considerate. This is what he's talking about pastors here. The elders, the overs. In other words, apparently, man, there was some guys that would just get in your face and go after it, and they're the leaders of the church. He uses the word peaceable, which means reluctant to fight. Not a quarrelsome, argumentative person. That's what that word means. Be peaceable. So, pastors, let's not be pugnacious, right? Let's be considerate. Let's be peaceable. And I'm saying to the men in our church, men, do not be divisive. Don't do that. There's always a right way to handle everything biblically. Let's do it that way. And you can see church history is littered with churches who did not do it that way. Hence, that's why Paul's warning them here. I mean, he's already written about a lot of this stuff in the letter 2 or 3 years ago. 2 to 3 years later, when he writes Timothy directly and says, Timothy, I know it's tough where you are, buddy. They're looking down on you because you're kind of a young fella compared to them and all this stuff going on. And they've got all kind of newfangled messages and twists and turns with what they're teaching. But listen to me, you the man. You put your feet down, plant your feet right there on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Don't you budge, don't you squirm, don't you retreat. You don't pack your bag and leave. You stay and you work through these issues. And that's what pastors are called to do. To plant their feet on the solid rock and not to retreat and not to just ignore, but to work through the issues in a biblical way. Men, God is saying to us today through his word, because God speaks through his word. Amen. We men are not to be divisive. We men are to pursue gospel unity. And that's easier to preach than it is to practice. But God is calling us to practice that today, men. Number two, ladies, it's your turn. I've been accused of being very kind to the ladies over the recent months. So today I want to make up for that. Not really. Here we go. Women, bless your heart. Do not be distracting. I'll try to explain that from the context. That's what y'all are paying me to do. All right? Look at verse 9 with me there, all right? Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, with modesty and self-restraint, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly clothing, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women professing godliness. All right, so here we go, ladies. And notice that likewise. You see that at the beginning of verse 9, as your translation have likewise? All right, well, that word likewise connects verse 9 back to verse 8. And again, Paul has been focusing here not on every sin that men engage in. Hey, we sin a lot more things than being pugnacious. All right? And he's not just focusing on one sin the ladies are participating in Ephesus, and that we participate in, I'm sure, in our culture as well at times. He's focusing on besetting sins. And so the male tendency was verse 8, wrath and dissension. The female tendency was unhealthy concern for bodily appearance. Unhealthy concern for bodily appearance. And what you see there in verse 9 is this. Paul is saying here that I want. And in the LSB, the Legacy Standard Bible that I read from and preach from, the I want is supplied. You'll see it in italics. And the reason for that is because he's using the verb of verse 8 down in verse 9, although he didn't write it again. But the force is still there, just as he's commanding men to pray in every place, right? Raising holy hands and without wrath and dissension. He is also now given an authoritative command to the women to adorn themselves with modest clothing. I really wish I had my pulpit back today. Hopefully next week I'll have that back. Amen. The word adorn. I was mentioning in community group, we got off on some different stuff, and this is one of the things we got off on. Adorn, that word comes from a Greek word, cosmeo. We get our word cosmetics from that. And the word adorn literally means to arrange, to put in order, or to make ready. And so when we use cosmetics, we are making ready. We're putting things in order so that we can be presentable to society. That's this word adorn means. It's a very strategic word here in this passage, because the adornment is not just to be outward bodily adornment, it's to be the adornment of the heart. And we'll see that as we move into verse 10. Notice this in verse 9, though. Women are to adorn themselves with proper clothing. Notice this, with modesty and self-restraint. This little phrase, with modesty, means reserve in matters of sex. Okay, that the word modesty at its root means a feminine reserve in matters of sex. It describes a woman here who is chaste or pure and honorable. It implies that a woman should not dress in a seductive or suggestive manner. It also applies to a woman's demeanor, how she carries herself. And so evidently there's a problem in Ephesus with men being loud and just pugnacious and brawling and willing to get in your face and punch you and bruise you to make their point. And there were women in the Ephesian culture here who dressed in ways that would entice others and therefore distract people from their purpose for being here. Now, let me just say, our purpose for being here today in this room is not primarily to hear all of your individual prayer concerns and needs and struggles. That was during community group. We let the couples in the married community group thing, the couples community group, share their struggles, and they're looking for a job here. I'm leaving a job here and I'm searching for one. I need a job and this and that. We do that in community group. In this time, from 10 to 11:30 on Sunday mornings, we have mapped out, designated, set apart, sanctified.